Oh, Francisco, Francisco.
Does this work better for Jack or for the Phillies and for their non-starting pitching of their team? What do you think, Hugh? What do you think fits more?
I would probably lean more towards the Phillies.
Yeah, I don't know after what I saw yesterday at Riverwinds. Welcome back.
I know I'm trying to be kind, man. I know you're going.
But we got to call it as it is. Like, listen, I compared what happened yesterday in DeCamera versus Fritz to game one of Mets-Phillies last year. I was at that game, and that was a meltdown. Phillies should have won that game. They were winning the game the whole time. Wheeler was dominating the game. Took him out after seven. The bullpen blew it. A complete meltdown. And the series shifted to the Mets. Now, the Phillies to come back and win a very dramatic game two, and I expect Jack to come back and win game two. But it's clear DeCamera took the advantage yesterday. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Fran there playing us in with Titanic. Behind the glass in for Kyle. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. All right, well, let's get back to the Phillies here. And your take on DeCamera versus Fritz. Who now is the favorite to win this thing? I think DeCamera clearly is the favorite, but I would still bet on Jack to come back as an underdog now and win this thing in the end. As much as that I might regret that, I'm still going to bet on Jack here. I'm not sure I'm going to bet real money, but I would bet on Jack to come back and beat DeCamera.
How much money are you putting on it? If you were betting real money, how much money are you putting on it?
Well, I'm getting plus money on Jack because he's the underdog.
Okay.
I put $100 of plus money on Jack right now.
Okay.
You want to make the bet?
I mean, if you want to. Do I got to pay it out?
Yeah.
If
you lose, you got to pay.
I don't know, Rojas. What you think?
I'd take the bet.
You would?
I would.
You put $100 on Joe DeCamera to win two more
I
legs?
100. Can I do like 50?
Now he moved.
Yeah, can I move it?
Well, because I'm not
confident.
I said it a little.
How about $20?
$20?
Yeah.
You get. You give me odds though. I'm getting plus money.
All right, then fine.
I'd probably go 25 too.
25. All right, and then we're workshopping how much we would bet on Joe DeCamera or Jack Fritz to win to an athletic competition. All right, who do you make as the favorite right now? Who would you pick to win? DeCamera versus Fritz. Your reaction to what happened yesterday, and the Phillies. And I'm really curious where it comes down. 215-592-9494. About 60% of our poll today say they are enjoying this Phillies season, and I want to. And every time the starting pitcher is out there, I'm enjoying myself because Zach Wheeler has been incredible. He goes tonight against the Padres. Ranger Suarez has pitched at a level now where it's like, we can't let this guy go. I mean, well, you know, we were having discussions 2 months ago about the bullpen, a month ago about trading him. That's all out the window now. Ranger Suarez is so good right now, you can't even consider moving on. You have Christopher Sanchez who will pitch tomorrow. He's been really, really good. I think Sanchez has lived up to everything people said before the season. Like, he's going to be an all-star caliber guy again. He has been. And of course, you know, you have Luzardo, who hasn't been maybe as dominant as he was the first.
But he's had his moments.
But he's been mostly really good. I mean, he's had two really bad starts. He's had some good starts. I thought Saturday he was but it was certainly good enough on Saturday if they had scored some runs for him. The bottom line is they have four outstanding starting pitchers. I looked this morning at the odds to win the National League Cy Young, and they're all, I think, in the top 11 of the NL Cy Young race over at FanDuel. I mean, they're great pitchers. And I love when they're on the mound. And, Hugh, everything else bothers me about the team. The offense is frustrating to watch. The bullpen we know has a lot of holes. They don't play great defense. I am struggling to enjoy this season. Where do you guys come down? 215-592-949 for Hugh Douglas. Are you enjoying?
Immensely.
Immensely?
Yes. I just feel like, you know, putting a little hyperbole on it. But I am enjoying
the season.
You put a
little hot sauce on there.
Yeah, I am. I put a little hot sauce on it. But I am enjoying
the season.
They
scored in like 5 of 27 innings this weekend.
But this is who this team is. And they ran it back. And they ran it back with the faith that this team can get to the World Series because they feel that they can.
Yeah.
Our biggest woes have been in the postseason when the bats go quiet. Now, this is eerily similar to the last two seasons that I've been a part of since I've been here. You know, when you talk about, if you go back and you look at this point during the season, Phillies are probably where they bought the same record when you look at it.
They're probably a little worse than last year, but not that much worse.
Because last year they were like on pace to win like 100 and some games.
Yeah, but they're better than they were in 23 at this time.
Yeah. So they're trending in the right direction. And the fact that Bryce Harper isn't out there. So you have that. My biggest concern comes with this team every year is in the postseason. When you get that really, really good pitching, but the bats go cold. Hopefully they can figure that part of it out.
So you brought up the postseason. It's going to be interesting. I think the next 2 weeks are huge for the Phillies because
they're still in the gauntlet.
Well, they're still in the gauntlet, and they're facing. So if you look at the standings right now, the three teams that are right outside the playoffs, That's who they play between now and the All-Star break. So if the Phillies play really good baseball the next 2 weeks, they could really create some distance between themselves and the last wild card team. Like, kind of cement themselves as, all right, no matter what happens with this division, they're going to win the playoffs or be in the playoffs. If they struggle the next 2 weeks, you know, they're going to be in a fight then just to make the playoffs, because it's going to create this logjam.
Because technically the Braves are still alive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still alive.
But I think they stink. I just don't think it's their year. I mean, they're about to get passed by the Marlins in the standings. That, watching the Braves more and more, because we've seen them against the Phillies a bunch, I just don't see it compared to the last few years. They're very top-heavy. Like, they still have like 4, 5, or 6 outstanding players. But then the middle of their team, it's not very good. I mean, some of those guys they're throwing up there at the plate this weekend, Stuart Fairchild and Nick Allen. I mean, those guys can't hit. Eli White. I mean, remember 2 years ago when they had that amazing lineup? It was like, oh my goodness. It was like 1 through 9.
Murder's Row.
Yeah, the Braves have really fallen off compared to where they were 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I feel like they used to either when it was like Josh Donaldson in 2019.
They used to
get free agents, and then they would have young guys come up. Like, you know, you had the Acunas of the world. Even Michael Harris a couple of years ago. I mean, he was great coming up. Now he's falling off. I don't know. The Braves, they used to have one of the farm systems, whether just, you know, having good teams like year after year. It's, I don't know, man. Times are changing, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think they're very good. I mean, they lost Sale, who's going to be out a while with the rib injury. I mean, they strike me as a team that maybe would be finished around 500, but I don't take them seriously. I put them below the race. But the next few teams, Padres, Reds, Giants, Padres for the All-Star break. This is going to be telling. If the Phillies play really well the next 2 weeks, they're going to create some separation here. So even if the Mets play better too, like, it'll be like, all right, those teams are not really part of the race. If the Phillies struggle, it's going to be like, you know, we got like 6 teams for three spots here. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Are you enjoying this Philly season? I'm struggling to, because the flaws, I see him, and I think about October when I watch him. Where do you come down? And Fritz, the camera, your reaction to what happened yesterday. Mark in Woodbury Heights is up. Good afternoon, Mark.
Joe, I'm sitting on the beach. Good morning, Hugh.
What's up, man?
Joe, I'm sitting on the beach in Seattle City. I just got to make a quick Joe DeCamery comment. I think he has the athletic ability of this horseshoe crab that just was washed up on the shore here. I like Jack Fritz in that competition. I just don't think Joe's really that athletic.
Yeah, Mark, I think that the mental game yesterday of golf certainly played to the camera, but as they move towards more athletic competitions, I think it's going to go to Jack.
Yeah, don't see it happening. Joe, I have to shed some positivity on the boys. And you know, I've been very negative.
Yeah.
You know that. And watching them hit is like getting root canal done. But at the end of the day, that was a huge win yesterday.
It was.
After an excruciating road trip where they can't hit the ball. They can't hit. It's unbelievable how bad they are offensively. But with all that being said, they won the game yesterday. Like, it's like watching the Eagles struggle in a game and they pull it out and Jalen goes, well, W's a W. It's the same thing. A W is a W. And I really felt, I was listening to the game, I'm like, if they pull this game out, leaving guys on base, bullpen not shutting the door fully, if they win this game, great sign coming home. I expect them to go 4-2 or 5-1 on this homestand. Harper is back. Joe, I think we're going to be all right. And you're right. Am I enjoying it? Is it fun to watch them ground out and strike out and swing at first pitches and not work the pitcher? No, it's not fun. It's not enjoyable. But we are in first place. So let's get a little positivity. I'm on vacation. I'm ready, Joe, to make a run.
I like that, Mark. I needed this today. Mark, we appreciate the phone. I needed that. I need to hear that.
Is it really vacation, though, when you just go down the street? I mean, Seattle's not that far. I mean, is that really vacation?
Sure, it's vacation.
Well, you can take it at home vacation too.
Yeah. What do you mean the shore's not vacation?
I mean, it's kind of like, because you're going to see everybody you see at home at the shore, though, right?
Well,
for the most part.
Your neighbors aren't there.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, there. I'm just saying, well, yeah, I guess you have a point there. I mean,
I mean, you might need a vacation from Skip and Claymont. I mean, as we
I'm about to take that.
Yeah, you just better not tell him where you're going, otherwise he might follow you, as he follows you to work sometimes.
Yeah, Skip.
Yeah, you gotta watch out.
He's a weird.
Yeah, going to the Shores vacation. I mean, how could it not be?
I'm just saying, because you're.
What would you call it then?
A weekend out of
vacation?
I guess, because it's not that far. It's not like, you know, you pay a couple tolls and you go sit at the beach and drink all day?
But it's the shore. You get to be at the shore. Like,
what if you live at the beach, though? Like, what do people in California do?
Oh, well, that's different. But yeah, Mark's from Woodbury Heights. He's not at the shore. That's different.
How far is that? I don't even know where that is.
It's in South Jersey, but it's not.
It's like, 45 minutes from? Yeah, that's not over.
But there's no shore.
I mean, I'm just saying.
The shore.
Yeah, I guess.
Why do you think people go to the shore?
To get drunk and make bad decisions?
That's not why everyone goes.
Doesn't it kind of feel like, I mean, you're a young man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it kind of feels like. You go to the shore and make bad decisions.
Well, I went to the shore. We did a week at the shore last year. I didn't make any bad decisions.
Joe makes all the bad decisions.
We had our kids with us.
I'm saying it's some people, but for the most part, like when I see people at the shore, they're probably, you know, they're picking up some of them, what they call them, the White Claws and the... The surf side.
Well, it's vacation. It's
the botcherizing.
Yeah, of course.
A little bit of the botcherizing.
So you don't consider the shore vacation?
Nuh-uh.
All right, Francisco, poll question is do you consider going to the shore vacation?
Not if you're from here. Like, you know, no.
Well,
it's like a weekend to go act a fool.
No,
like,
it's fake.
Yeah.
No, well, hold on. Does it depend on how long you stay? Now, I would say a weekend at the shore is not a vacation. That's just a weekend. If you stay a week, that's vacation. You're gonna get crushed on this poll.
I probably will, but it won't be the first time.
Now you know what this is. Let's be honest. This is your aversion to the water.
I am averse to the water.
That's why the shore doesn't appeal to you
it
as much.
It does not.
So this is
I don't get it.
This is a you
it.
Problem.
Now you can say that.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. You want to be sunburned? Like people lay out and be sun. Just want to be sunburned.
Well,
you gotta
protect yourself.
Yeah, but that's a lot. The sunburned and drunk.
It kind of
sounds like I just summed up the shore in a nutshell, though.
No, if you wear the proper protection, you won't get sunburned. I very easily sunburn, and I usually don't get sunburned.
It's like hot.
It's summer.
So hot.
So, everywhere.
It's just hot just to be at the.
What's vacation to you?
What's vacation? I would say jumping on a flight and going somewhere for a week, eating foods that you never would eat before.
Okay.
And probably doing stuff that as a couple, you know, like, you know, doing stuff like that.
Maybe, has to be a couple?
Well, it doesn't have to be like skeet shooting or something. Like do stuff that you normally don't do.
Wait, what was that?
Skeet shooting. You never heard of skeet shooting?
No, what's that? Nope.
Seriously.
Skeet shooting?
Where they take these little clay discs and they pull and you shoot them. Skeet.
I've never done it, but I've heard of it. I know it.
Yeah,
is.
You did. Like Francisco looking at me like I said something funny.
So I actually think the way you describe vacation, I would probably enjoy that more than the week at the shore.
Maybe, but I'm not parasailing, but people parasail.
But I still think a week at the shore is vacation.
You know what I saw that I wouldn't mind doing even, and it pertains to being in the water.
Mm.
The jet skis, like not the jet, the wet bike, not the jet skis, the wet bike.
You would do it.
I would jump on. It had to be one of the big ones.
What about the sharks?
It had to be a big ass wet bike. It can't be one of them little ones. It had to be one of the ones that had the big gas tank on it.
Yeah.
I'd do that.
Yeah. Francisco, a week of the shore's vacation, right?
Well, I was going to say, I don't take a lot of vacations. Like, I went to Boston a few weeks ago for a couple days.
That's a vacation.
I consider that a vacation.
Well, you're in a new place, yeah.
Yeah.
But the shore is not a vacation.
The shore
is a vacation.
But it is.
I don't think so.
But most people don't get to go on day-to-day basis, right? If you're in the Philadelphia area, it's, you know, you can do it for a weekend, but you have work and you live here.
There's some people
it's
that
getting
probably
away.
Go to the shore every weekend.
That's a little bit different. Right. Because
that's just a weekend of go act the fool to me. That's what it kind of sounds like.
I agree with you.
I just don't know what else you'd call it.
I just told you. A weekend to go act a fool.
No, it's not. You don't have to act a fool.
You go act
again. We did a whole week at the shore last week. I didn't act a fool. I didn't act any
well,
brand new.
You was with the family. You probably went and got some ice cream.
We did get lots of ice cream.
You know what I mean? But
that was our vacation.
Okay. I mean, in what your
else?
Sense.
What else would I call it if I can't call it vacation?
Having a good time.
Yeah. That is it. Just going away. You're not that far away from home. You're 45.
Hey, I'm going here.
You're 45 minutes away from home.
No, we were at the Delaware beaches. We were 2.5 hours away from home.
Okay,
that's
Delaware
pretty far.
Beach is pretty. Okay, that's something.
It's still the shore. All right, Violet's in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
We're arguing about the shore.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Violet.
I actually think going to the shore is a vacation, but I love the beach, so.
Yeah, I'm not
I do too, yeah. Violet. I mean, it's great. Hugh thinks there's sharks in there, so he's
there
like,
is definitely sharks in the bay, in the water.
There's
I'm
no
sure
sharks.
There is, but, you know, hey, you just have to, you know, be careful when you go in. But
I just play the odds, Violet. The odds are there's no shark going to bother me. I mean, I it's worked for me so far. I'll keep doing this.
So the Phillies, I'm still enjoying watching them. Yes, they're frustrating, and I think that's what you're experiencing. It's their inconsistency, but you have to keep in mind, and I think Rhea, is that, I'm sorry if I mispronounced her
yes,
name.
Rhea. Yes, Rhea.
Yeah, so she mentioned it earlier. It's a big deal right now. We are playing without one of our big hitters. Yeah, I think things are going to change once Bryce gets in the lineup. I think it's going to be a big pick-me-up. And yes, I mean, the bullpen is really the biggest thing to me. The hitting, they've been like that. They're just streaky like that. So I'm not really worried about it because once they get going, and honestly, it's momentum. It's just like football. Whoever gets momentum come October, and I really think we're there. I mean, we're at the cusp. So I am not worried. And then who's the outfielder that's been making the comments? Kemp, is that?
That would be
Kepler. Max Kepler.
Kepler. Sorry. Yeah, bye. You know, I know things, you know what, that's life. Things are promised to you, but if you don't perform, I'm sorry. You know, put your big boy pants on and just suck it up. Play better. Hit more.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not just about playing the outfield. Sorry.
Right. How about earn your spot? How about earn your, you know, earn everyday playing time? So if he hits well for a week and then they face a lefty the next day, I think Topper would probably give him a shot and say, you know what, you're on fire right now. Go ahead and play again. Like, I'm not going to take, like, if he hits more, he'll play more. This isn't that hard. Like, all sports work like this. If you play well,
exactly.
They'll keep playing you. I mean, just do that.
Exactly. I agree. Totally.
Yeah, it's not
but
that.
Yeah, I'm
it
enjoying
really
it.
Hard.
And the pitching is, oh my God, Ranger. God, I love him. Sign him.
It's gotten to the point where it's hard not to. Violet, we appreciate the phone call. All right, so, Hugh, I want to throw this at you because I saw this and I'm curious your reaction to it. So there is a lot of chatter out there. Bryce Harper could return as early as tonight. Okay, so he took, I think it was like 75 pitches of batting practice in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And then they flew some minor leaguers in to throw him like live BP on the field in Atlanta. Right, so it was like the closest to real he has seen outside on the field he's probably had in weeks. Okay, what do you make of this, the way this story reads? So I'm going to read the headline, and then I'll read you the beginning of the story. You tell me if this is, if you think, from your perspective, this is normal, or are we rushing this? Headline, Bryce Harper still has stiffness in his wrist, but could return to action Monday. And then the beginning of the story from Scott Lauber, the Inquirer. Bryce Harper reported, quote, normal stiffness in his right wrist Sunday, manager Rob Thompson said, after facing Phillies minor league pitchers Jack Dallas and Joel Kunell on the field Saturday. What do you make of that? Like, the story is not he feels 100%. The story is he's reporting normal stiffness, which he's saying is different than when he was injured. Is that, to you, normal? Or would you say, why do we have any stiffness?
Allow me to long talk just a little bit. Because I feel like from everything that we've heard about this whole Bryce Harper thing, is it's on him and how he feels.
Yep.
Because Dombrowski said earlier that, you know, something to the effect that it just all depends on when Bryce wants to come back.
Because he's fine. Cleared. He's cleared.
So to me, this sounds like one of those situations where the discomfort thing, they probably have something that they could give him for that, but he doesn't want to take
okay.
it.
Okay.
You know.
So he's going to feel, no matter what, there's going to be something he's
yes,
going to feel?
Yes, because he's not. Bryce, and I don't know this for sure, people. I'm recklessly speculating like I like to do. But it sounds to me like Bryce doesn't like to take painkillers.
Well, so I did think it was interesting off of your theory on that. It seemed like the inflammation took a while to go down. And, mm-hmm. and usually I would think
we
teams...
We take like some, I forgot what it's called, but there are certain pills and stuff, anti-inflammatories, ibuprofen or something yeah. that you could take that takes that out.
Quicker.
It doesn't feel like Bryce likes to, you know, go hardcore or better living through chemistry, if you will, to get certain things to expedite themselves,
yep.
you know. Like the necessary things, like then he have surgery, he had to go under the knife or something, and he probably had some, you know, obviously some stuff there. But as far as the day-to-day stuff that people usually take for discomfort, doesn't sound like he's really on board with that. Really
so,
doesn't.
So do you think that the discomfort he felt yesterday after batting practice is not a reason for concern? Because I don't think so. What's interesting to me is it's not Bryce's feeling 100% he's coming back. It's like... He's sore, but it's okay soreness.
Yeah, I think that Bryce has had conversations with people where they said, hey, you know, they had to convince him 100% that he's not going to re-injure himself.
Right.
Or he can't make it any worse. I think that's what the conversation has been had. And I think that's part of the reason why it's taking him so long. You know, when you talk about the swings and everything, he just wants to see, make sure that he's in a space or in a place where he's not going to hurt himself any worse than he's already hurt.
Yeah. Well, tonight it would be wonderful to have him back. It's a big series against the Padres. We shall see if the Phillies make a move. And if they do, I'd be in favor of DFA and Max Kepler and getting him out of here. He hasn't hit. I don't need to hear him complaining about his playing time. All right. 215-592-9494. Twitter questions. Let's go through some of these. Sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Are you enjoying this Philly season? You would think it's an easy yes on this, right? Like, they're 49-35. They're in first place. They just coming off a series win. What do you make of the voting on this, Hugh? 64% are enjoying the Philly season, but 36%, not really.
I'm getting through to the people.
Oh, this is about
that's
you.
That's basically what it sounds like. Because yeah. I made a strong case for why you should enjoy it. Like, this doesn't get – I think it gets tight for people as we get close to the postseason. Because that's where the troubles have been. And I also feel like, I know you don't like to do this, but people waiting to see how they fare after the All-Star
But
break.
That's not pledge-like.
It is pledge-like.
No, it's not.
It is. It is taking a pledge.
No, if you took the pledge, day to day you react.
But no, I react every day, and I've been even killed the whole season.
Yeah, that's not pledge-like.
I mean, it is. It's like... It's almost like for you guys, you and Kyle, and I'm going to put Francisco in that.
Well, Fran said he hates the team, yeah.
Yeah. You thrive off of being bipolar on a day-to-day basis.
No, that's the team's fault. That's not mine.
No, that's your fault. You choose to be bipolar.
No, I'm reacting to what I
you
see.
You choose to react
You didn't
to,
take the pledge.
I did take the pledge.
Nope.
But I choose not to be bipolar. You guys are bipolar. Like, I remember vividly a week ago, we were talking about how everybody turned the corner and the offense is woken up and all this stuff.
I was all in after that.
Yeah. Now, all of a sudden,
they didn't score a run in Houston.
You got heartburn.
What do you want me to do?
You got heartburn.
How about if they play Francisco, better, I will be happy every day. This
Francisco
is on them.
Francisco says it's like, I hate this team. I hate them.
All right. I asked him.
I said, what would you do, Francisco? I'll get rid of everybody.
I love that. All right. Another poll question today. Who is the new favorite, DeCamera or Fitz? You ready for this breakdown?
DeCamera.
50-50 split.
Oh, it's like that.
It is 50-50. I would take Jack as an underdog to move forward and win this thing. All right. And you're getting cooked on this one, Hugh, as predicted. Do you consider going to the shore a vacation? 75% yes.
All the people that are voting are the ones that go to the shore.
Because it's a vacation.
They get away from their day-to-day, but they see the same people they see on a regular basis. It's not a vacation
if you live in the city.
All the time.
And you're around the blacktop and build big buildings, and it's hot. Going to the shore is way different place.
And you get to see the same people that you see.
Maybe
in the
city you like those
people. So this is how it is, all right? So it's weekend at the shore, not a vacation.
That's just a weekend. No, I agree.
A week, like with the family,
it's a vacation.
At the shore is a vacation.
Okay, we'll give you that one. The ones that go every weekend, that's not a vacation.
It's not.
It's not because you're going to see the same folks that you see in the city. Only difference is you're probably a little bit more drunk and you're bolder. You're gonna speak your mind just a little bit more.
So if you went for a full week to the shore, you wouldn't consider it your vacation.
Mm-mm.
It's a vacation.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't.
I said full week and you said yeah.
No, I'm saying if I went to the shore,
what would you call it?
If you go to the shore, that's fine. If
by yourself?
I go to the shore, yeah, I'm not. That's not a vacation.
What would you call it?
an excursion.
Oh, stop. 215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up on all these things. You're weighing in on the camera, Fritz. What happened yesterday? A complete and epic meltdown by Jack Fritz over at Riverwinds. The camera up 1-0. Are you enjoying this Philly season? Is going to the shore for a week of vacation? Clearly it is. Hughes lost his mind on this. Oh, we got to discuss Ranger Suarez on the other side. The company he's now in Philly's history. And is he making the decision easy? Do the Phillies just have to re-sign him when this season ends? That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Is this Hughes' song?
Surfing you. This is Beach Boys, right?
That's correct.
You ever surf?
No, I ain't never surfed.
That would be a sight.
It would be a sight.
My big ass surfing. No, I ain't about to do that. I'm not.
What if we did Midday Show surfing lessons?
Just for you, though.
No, I'll do it too.
Okay. Wait a minute. No, Francisco, since you got a lot to say, you surfing too. If I got to go, you going.
Yeah, I tried to skateboard back in the day.
No, I ain't no trying to hit that. Yeah, no. You going. If I go, you go.
I don't think any of us would do it well, but like, what's the worst that happens in a lesson? You fall down?
You might get eaten by a shark or something.
Oh, come on.
You ever seen those videos?
You guys got to stop with the shark stuff.
They have like surf places where we don't have to be in the actual ocean to do it.
That's lame, though.
No, that's why I'm going the real thing.
No, we got to do the real thing.
No. No, I'm not in the green. I'm not getting in the water. I'm not doing that. My daughter coined the phrase. I forgot what it was called, but it's not afraid of water. It's afraid of water that you can't see your feet in. It's the murky water.
Yeah, we can simplify this to you're afraid of the water. I mean, we don't.
No, it's the murky water. I'm not afraid of water. I mean, I can swim.
I never said you couldn't swim.
No, but you know, most they think. Part of the reason most black folks don't know how to swim. I know how to swim.
I didn't say that.
No, you don't have to say it. I mean, it's a common, you know, people commonly think that most, you know, black folks don't know how to swim. I know how to swim.
I just think you're afraid.
I just choose not to swim.
I mean, you're afraid of eels and the whale and Lake Tahoe.
Jellyfish? Jellyfish too?
I'm afraid of anything that I can't see swimming up to me. Like, see, that's the thing y'all tend to be. Y'all jump in that water and y'all don't know what's underneath that water. You don't know what's in that water. You know what I mean? The Goliath grouper could eat you. Like Goliath grouper didn't eat people.
Come on,
Goliath
now.
Grouper. Goliath.
What's that?
Goliath grouper. Yeah, grouper. Goliath grouper. Yeah, I'm saying it right.
Is that a thing? Like, what is
it's
it?
It's a fish.
Really? It's a
You've
real thing?
You've never had grouper?
No.
You've never eaten grouper.
You ever been on a Clearwater, friend?
No, I need to get down.
Yeah, you'd like it. I mean, you're a baseball guy.
But also, Goliath grouper.
Grouper is like
it's an ambush
every
fish.
Restaurant has grouper down there because it's in the water.
It's an ambush fish. And that's some grouper.
Is
have
it
gotten
big?
Up to like 800 pounds.
You know what that sounds like me? Like a lot of good tacos, man.
No, dude.
sounds like a lot of tacos.
Yeah,
grouper tacos are good.
Yeah, I mean.
I love that in Clearwater. All
I mean, it ain't sharks ain't the only thing that can eat you. That's my point. Other stuff can
thank
eat you.
Thank you. All the shore businesses right now are like, you shut up, man.
Yeah.
Everyone turns their car around.
Nobody. Listen, some folks have been going to the shore for so long. Ain't nothing I could say or do. Can deter
well,
them
also,
going
they
to the shore.
Know you're ridiculous. I mean, so nothing's going to eat you. You're going to be fine.
It gets personal. So they're in the car talking to the kids, I'm like, Mom and Dad, what is Hugh talking about?
Yeah,
well, son, Hugh's an idiot. So don't pay attention to what he's saying. He's an idiot.
I feel like per capita, we get more of that on our show than any other.
Yeah, definitely.
What is Joe saying? He's an idiot.
He's
don't
an
listen
idiot.
To him. Hugh, he's just afraid of the water.
Yeah, these guys are idiots.
All right, quickly before we get to the phone calls on Ranger Suarez, Hugh, we had a blockbuster NFL trade this morning that I think we didn't really realize the scope of.
No, we were just throwing out names.
Well, we broke the news earlier of the Jalen Ramsey was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was the initial kind of wave of the news. And that's a big deal, right? Jalen Ramsey's been one of the NFL's best corners for a long time. And, you know, we heard that he wanted out of Miami. It seemed like they were trying to find a place to dump him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was going to move on, right? That we kind of knew already. And he goes to the Steelers. My first thought was, oh, the Steelers really are trying to load up, right?
They're trying to make a run.
Yeah, I mean, they got Rodgers. He's probably got one. He did say last week he's got 1 year left. I don't know how good he is anymore, but they're trying to put as much as they can around him. It's a really interesting team with all these big personalities. Now, DK Metcalf, Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey. But, Hugh, that wasn't the only part of the trade. And we got a rare now, and this is very rare in the NFL, player-for-player kind of trade, star-for-star kind of trade. This is more like a basketball thing than you see in pro football. So here was a trade that went down this morning. The Steelers get Jalen Ramsey, tight end Jonnu Smith, and a 7th-round pick. The Dolphins get a 5th-round pick and Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, Minkah for Jalen Ramsey is really the headline there. I don't remember the last time I saw two players this good get traded for each other. The only thing I could think of is Clinton Portis and Champ Bailey were once traded for each other.
Yeah,
Doesn't happen in football much.
No, not at all. And I was thinking, when I first heard it, I was like, well, maybe they couldn't pay Minka. Like, that was my first thought when I thought about it, him leaving the squad, was that they couldn't pay him.
Who do you think won the trade? I mean, I really like Minka Fitzpatrick as a player.
I do too, but I like Jalen Ramsey and who's Slay together.
And they also have Porter, Joey Porter's son, as a corner too. He's a first-round pick.
They got them. They got those guys. They always had a pretty decent defense. And then they got the tight end for another target for
Jonnu Smith. Yep.
Yeah, they got another target for what's his name? Funny acting dude,
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. So yeah. They look like they're trying to push all in to make a playoff run. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Pittsburgh fans should be excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they are. I mean, they're trying. It's kind of a non-Steelers thing. They don't usually trade for big names or sign big names. They usually kind of draft and develop, but they've gotten Metcalf and Rodgers. We'll see what happens. Hey,
Coach Tomlin might be on the hot seat.
Well, that might be why they're doing it. They have a little bit of Dream Team Eagles feel to them, where remember the Eagles went all in 2011, and they brought all those guys in, and it didn't really work. I doubt it's going to work the way the Steelers want, but it's certainly an interesting NFL trade, player for player, with some picks involved. 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh, before we go back to the phones on the Phils, Ranger Suarez.
Ranger.
We need to talk about what we're seeing here, Hugh, because you want to take a victory lap on this one. You could do
Ranger.
It.
Well, I'm not. I mean,
you can.
To.
Steadfast that Ranger Suarez. Well, God, there it is. I like how seconds after, I'm not going to take a victory lap. I try to tell you. Go ahead. Peacock around.
No, I'm just trying to tell you.
Tell us what?
Trying to tell you that I want to sign this cat because he's hungry. But to Kyle's point, shout out to Kyle. I think Kyle would probably feel differently now about Ranger, but he still probably wouldn't sign him because he would probably be in the wheelhouse where if he's pitching this well now, how well is he going to pitch in the playoffs if he signs now?
Let it play out.
Yeah, let's let it play out.
So I understand that, but we're reaching a point where it's like, how do you just let this guy go? I mean, this is how good he's been. Let me hit you with a couple of things I saw this morning. So yesterday, he dominated the Braves, right? It was his fifth straight outing of at least seven innings.
At least seven.
10 straight of at least six innings. This isn't like a five-inning pitcher now. We're talking about a guy that goes as deep into the game as anyone in baseball. And then
and you need that right now, too.
With the bullpen, you're totally right. And then there's this. He has a 1.19 ERA over his last 10 starts. It is the lowest ERA. I want you to hear this. It's the lowest ERA by any Phillies pitcher over a 10-game stretch since Cliff Lee in 2011. That means the best of Nolan never did this. The best of Wheeler never did this. The best of even Ranger last year never did this. The only other Phillies pitchers with a sub 1.2 ERA in a 10-start span since the mound was lowered in 1969, Roy Oswalt in 2010, and Steve Carlton in 1972. We're talking about as great of a stretch as we've ever seen a Phillies pitcher have. That means Curt Schilling never did this. It means Roy Halladay never did this. It means Zach Wheeler never did this. I mean, those three guys, you might say, are the three most dominant Phillies pitchers over extended periods in the last 40 years. No one has done what he's done outside of Oswalt and Carlton. This is pretty remarkable stuff. And 2 months ago, it was a legitimate thing, like, should he go to the bullpen? Should they trade him? They have no choice now. He's in the rotation the whole way through.
Yeah, and that's what he wanted. You know, we were talking about earlier who was going to put in the bullpen. I knew he wasn't going because this was his contract year. And to Kyle's point, he's pitching like a man who's pitching, you know, for his big deal.
Yes.
And you need to let that play out to a certain extent. Like, there's probably some validity to the fact that if you would have signed him early, how would he play like this? But the more you have him out there, man, the more you realize how important he is to this team. So, yeah, you need to get him signed.
Well, what now feels like an issue, and I didn't think it was going to become one, is can they even afford both him and Schwarber in free agency? I mean, before the season, you would have felt like...
I mean, you could.
But will they be able to get both done? I mean, Rangers moving to a different stratosphere. I mean, like, before the season, if you would have asked me how much money Ranger Suarez was going to get in free agency, I would have said, I don't know, $50 million, $60 million.
No, you're talking about like a hundo?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got Scott Boras as agent, and he's dominating the league. And in fact... When the All-Star teams are announced, I guess it is, what, now, a couple weeks from now or this coming Sunday, whenever they announce the teams, Ranger Suarez has a legitimate case to make the All-Star team for the second straight season. So, I mean, this is a great thing for the Phillies because it's part of the reason why they're a World Series contender. They have this guy in the rotation, but it's also like, uh-oh, How are they going to handle this?
They got money.
They do have money.
So, I mean, it's not, you know, it just all depends.
But both? These are two $100 million players right now.
I think it's going to come down to, honestly, how the end of the season goes. Like, what happens in the postseason. And if they poop the bed. Say, for instance,
The Ranger or the team?
The team. Because I don't, Joe, you can't run it back again. Like, if this team fails miserably like they did in the last couple of seasons, you can't run it back. You can't. And I think that as much as we like Schwarble and Ranger, they're probably going to be looking to move on and change some things.
So I think the sentiment people would agree with, like, change the team up. But could you imagine this team without Ranger and Schwarber? They would not be close to first place. I mean,
you're right, but how can you warrant running it back? Because the guys that we're looking at that you would probably want to move on from.
Castellanos, Bohm, those kind of players. Well, right.
You can't move them. And how do you sell to this fan base re-signing one of the best hitters that you have on the roster and the best pitchers and running it back again? See, that I think that's the problem. That's the problem that you're facing, because there are certain guys that you can't move on from, you know. And to run it back like that, I don't think the fan base would be okay with that.
Yeah, I would. When the season started, I was very accepting and resigned to the idea Ranger would probably play in a different uniform next year. To the fact that we were talking about potentially trading him during the season to help the teams get an outfielder. I thought starting or bullpen, whatever this year, you know, and he's not going to be here next year. They've already kind of moved on in their minds because they have Sanchez and they have Luzardo and they've got Painter coming and Abel. But the way he's pitched, it's like, I don't want to see him in a different uniform. I want Ranger to be here. Ed is in Flower Town. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Ed. What's up?
Yeah, I was calling about Ranger, especially yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Phillies' strength is their starting pitching. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Without question.
The pitching 1 and 1A is Wheeler and Ranger, and maybe Ranger's 1A.
Over the last 10 starts, he's been as good as any pitcher in all of baseball.
But for the last 3 years, he's been very solid. Mm-hmm. My problem with Rob Thompson is Ranger is dominating yesterday, cruising after a home run in the second. He's cruising. In the seventh inning, he threw six pitches. He is under 100. You want to try and get to the ninth inning or at least eight innings out of him. Rob Thompson can't wait to throw two relievers. One reliever's not going to have it. We barely escaped the victory because he can't let Ranger go eight innings.
Yeah, Ed, I thought the same thing. I mean, if you had played that out differently, if you tried Ranger in the eighth, you could have, if he got through it, then just had Kirkering for the ninth, and it would have been a way easier kind of victory yesterday.
That's what you want to do. You want to just one reliever. Okay, two is, you know, you always, I mean, they could have easily blown that. They came in the next inning. There were two bombs in the right field, center field fence.
Yep.
That would have been a crushing loss.
Oh, of course. I mean, it would have been devastating because that would have meant they would have lost 5 out of 6 on the strip.
All I want this matter to do is pay attention to the game, not when you figure it out before the game started. You're going to do 7 innings or 8 innings. Well, we have 6-pitch inning. Let him go another inning. He's your stud.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It didn't seem like he was laboring. Now, his velocity was a little bit down yesterday, and we appreciate it, but obviously it didn't affect him. He dominated the game. I think Topper's got a tightrope he's got to walk every night because what our last caller said, I absolutely agree with. Like, the less we see of the bullpen, the happier I am. At the same time,
you don't want to burn your starting pitching.
I do wonder that. I mean, the Phillies, as much as we think sometimes that Topper takes them out early, if you look around the rest of baseball, our starters pitch more than anybody, right? Like, they pitch well.
They're going long, too.
They pitch better than everyone, and they pitch longer than everyone. I mean, that's just, they routinely go into the sixth and seventh inning. Most starting rotations don't have this. Like, most teams have one guy. The Phillies have 4 of them that we get a lot of innings out of.
So, and it's not a necessity, to be totally honest.
It's not a luxury. But I do wonder about that. Like, are they in the back of their mind thinking, like, hey, this is an important game to win, but how am I going to keep these arms fresh all the way through October? That's a tough balance.
Yeah, it is. And we've seen that. Like, we've had runs where the last couple of seasons where the pitching has been phenomenal, and in the playoffs,
yeah,
it goes south. And to have the pitching go south and the hitting – that's not a good combination.
Well, that's how you go home in 4 games like last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't have that. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's good, Richie. What's on your mind today?
You know, last time I spoke to you, you were talking about Baum maybe getting out of third base, and he's turned it around. You know, if you think things are bad when you say you're watching, you know, your team right now, in New York, man, the lines are, like, on fire. It's like Lindor's in the dumps, and obviously the pitching staff has been hurt. You know, I've talked to you before. I'm a mm-hmm. San Francisco Giant fan. I watch these games, guys. When you're watching baseball for 162 games, you're going to be more frustrated than not. You just are. You got a good football team. You got to deal with it 16 games. You know that.
Yes.
So, but the course of a year, you're going to have these funks. I predict that your team is definitely, and my second team is the Mets, but your Phillies are going to win this because of your starting pitching. The Mets can't survive losing their latest pitcher. Losing Senga's a question mark. McGill is down. Their bullpen, the Holmes giving them 5 innings. You know, Joe, you mentioned about going. My team has two guys to get to the seventh inning, sixth and seventh. That's Webb and Robbie Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And Verlander's been pitching well, too. But, yeah, it's frustrating to watch. And there's no dominance. There really isn't. You know, other than the Dodgers that were supposed to win 100 games, Detroit's been a real surprise. You know, you win 90, 95 games, and this day, Gaze, you're banging your head against the wall. So you've got to accept the good and the bad. And again, just to end it, with the Mets, I don't see a light at the tunnel because I don't know what their pitching is. I know Blackburn is not a good pitcher. I know Montas is not. You got four studs. You've got to pick up a bullpen guy, which there's six guys or four guys in Colorado, Joe. There's guys that bullpen arms are out there.
Oh, I know. It's the one thing, and we saw it. We've seen it every year. But, like, I remember the Nationals team that won the World Series in 2019. Like, their bullpen was terrible, and they fixed it. If you have something you need to fix, the bullpen is the easiest one to fix at a trade deadline.
Absolutely, and you guys will hit better. I mean, Harper, people are saying in New York that he's babying it. You touched on that. I don't know. But I think Harper knows his body. And I think Harper's a gamer, and I think he wants to come back and be 100% healthy. So this wild card race is going to be crazy. I don't even know if the Mets are going to hold up. I don't know if my Giants are going to hold up. The Brewers have been really good, obviously, the Cardinals, the Padres. It's really, really great. But the streaks of just sitting there and the ineptitude will drive you crazy. So you got to try to enjoy it. Otherwise, don't watch it. You'll hate baseball.
Well, I love baseball, so I'll keep watching. Richie, appreciate it. I mean, Hugh, he's not wrong in that. All these teams have flaws, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's why the Phillies' record is not that much different than the other good teams. They're all within, like, 5 games of each other because there's a lot of good teams, but there's also, like, all these teams have some problems. The Phillies aren't the only ones. I'm watching the Phillies every day, and we're all watching the offense every day, and we're watching the bullpen every day, and it drives you up a wall. I mean, I understand his point. He's right. They're not the only team with some flaws. But boy, we're paying attention to the Phillies' flaws, and they're there.
Yeah, and it's for us, it's the flaws that we've seen rear their ugly head.
Yes.
Every time, you know, for us in the postseason,
it's cost them a championship.
Yes, and that's why it's annoying, nerve wracking, frustrating to us.
I think it's one of those things where if this was the first year they were contending, right? If this was like they came out of nowhere, we would
accept it.
Yeah, and we'd be saying, all right, like they patched this up, they patched that up, they're going to be okay. But it's more than that. I mean, it's been a consistent thing with this team for years that their offense has gotten, I would call it, worse over time. Now, he mentioned Bryce Harper, and he, you know, coming back here. Are we expecting, if he's activated tonight, Bryce to be Bryce?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. I know it might sound like a lot, but we've seen this before. We've seen Bryce come back before and knock one out of park. He came back when he started playing first base, did a phenomenal job playing at first base.
He did.
So, I mean, yes. I don't think it's far-fetched or I'm being, you know, over the top by expecting him to come out there and being Bryce Harper.
So I'm going to ask a question that seems silly, but I need to ask.
What do I think Bryce Harper is?
Yeah, and on June 30th, 2025, what is Bryce Harper? Like, for his career, he's a Hall of Famer, one of the better hitters for 12 years now in the major leagues. What is he now?
A shot in arm for this offense.
Well, okay.
Well, I mean, wanted me like specifics.
He's better than Buddy Kennedy, but I mean, I'm sure.
You wanted specifics?
Do you think? Do you think he's going to be better than he was before he went on the injured list?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I need.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that he's going to be the Bryce Harper we expected him to be.
So more of kind of like the guy he's been as a Philly, one of
yes.
the better hitters in baseball.
Yes.
You expecting that, Fran?
Yeah, I mean, he was dealing with this wrist thing for a while.
Yeah.
So, I think so. He'll come back and be a better version of himself.
So that, you know, the kind of Bryce Harper they get back, if it is tonight, we don't know that yet, but a lot of reports are indicating it could be as early as tonight. That's a big, you know, whatever that is a big thing to inform what they need at the deadline. Like, if he's Bryce Harper that we've known most of his time with the Phillies, that's a huge shot in the arm, right?
Yes.
That's an MVP caliber bat, or at least an all-star caliber bat. If he's the Bryce he was the first 2 months of the season, that certainly helps. I mean, it's clearly better than Buddy Kennedy and whatever they're throwing out in the lineup right now. But it's like, okay. He wasn't exactly raking before he left.
No, he wasn't. I know what you're saying. And I'm picking up what you're putting down. But from what we've been told or what we've been led to believe, he was kind of banged up
right
before he left.
He was dealing with it for a while.
So now he's not 100%, but he's comfortable enough to feel like he can go out there and contribute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I expect him to be the Bryce Harper old. Yes.
Well, that, you know, if he is that, it certainly changes how dire the need is for a bat. I mean, they still need another bat to help, but that would be a huge boost if we get him back tonight. And this is a big stretch of the season. I mean, the last caller mentioned all the wild card teams bunched up. They play them all. Padres, Reds, Padres, Giants into the break. All right, 215-592-9494. For your phone calls here coming up on the Phillies, are you allowing yourself to enjoy the season? I've struggled to. As much as their record is good, and they're in first place, and the Mets are in a way worse spot right now, I've struggled to enjoy the season fully because I see the flaws. Even a win like yesterday, I felt like crap when the game ended. I was like, Strom almost blew that. They didn't get a single hit with runners in scoring position. I felt like crap. I got Hugh over here saying things are fine, and it's okay.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, nothing to see here except the flaws in the team. Have you enjoyed this Philly season? 215-592-9494. A lot of other things to discuss. DeCamera versus Fritz. Who is the favorite now? We'll get to something I noticed, and we talked about in the meeting before the show today, about a certain player on the Phillies who was in the lineup yesterday, and maybe he shouldn't have been. We'll explain that next. Plus, your phone calls on all these things, and is going to the Shore for a week of vacation.
Mm-mm.
It clearly is. Mm. Everyone, but, well, I'd say most people agree. Hugh does not. Where do you come down on that? Your phone call's coming up. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Hatfield just dropped something special, everybody. A marinated carnitas. It's boneless, and it's a pork roast. It's tender, juicy flavor for days. This isn't your average pork roast, people. Mm-mm. This is next level. The new Hatfield marinated carnitas pork roast is perfect for Sunday dinner or whenever you want to feel like a hero without breaking a sweat. Trust me. You're going to want to grab one. Put some pork on your fork. Hit up simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you. Hatfield, better care, better pork.